get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Episode 141 of Ball Don't Lie. We are scheduled to be dropping on Tuesdays this week. Schedule's been a little out of whack. You know, niggas been working. You know, Dante was covering the World Series. You know what I'm saying? I've been out here doing these Bears games. So, you know, we're back on schedule for right now. So we should be good to go. But as usual, man, I am your host, Scott. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott. Got my co-host Dante. You can follow him on Twitter at OctoberZonte. You can follow the brand, the Barber's Chair Network, at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network, man. And we probably like a month into the season now. Right now, things are starting to take shape. We're going to get into all of that, man. First of all, how's it going on your end, bro? What's cracking Atlanta since the Braves won a championship?
Still decent. Like I told you, it's a damn shame. You know, you got really, like I said, you got a great college team up in Athens. You got the Hawks coming off the Eastern Conference Finals run. You got the Braves winning the World Series. Falcons are, they bad now, but they're a few years removed from a World Series, but you don't get a lot of fan support. So fortunately for people like me, that means tickets on, you know, Mondays and Tuesdays are pretty cheap. So
tell them about that ridiculous $20 food option.
Oh, yeah, ladies.
It blew my mind. It wasn't a cheap ticket that blew my mind. It was a food voucher.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, Hawks versus Magic, you know what I'm saying? Go check out Cole Anthony, see him live. I think he's a really nice young player. But sitting behind the basket, 100 level, ticket was $42, and it came with a $20 food voucher. So we're going to watch this game, and we get the food for free. So you can't really beat that.
That's perfect, bro.
So, you know, Atlanta, stay the way you are. Like, you know, it sell off all the big games. I understand that, of course, you know, when Bron in town. Giannis was here last night. That game was sold out. But, like, days like today, I like that, you know.
Yeah, we going to get into the Hawks later on the show. We got to talk about them, not the start that I was expecting for them. And we're going to update y'all on our bold MVP race, which is heating up right now. We're just going to say it looks like Dante got a little leg up on me so far right now. But we'll get into that in a minute, man. But let's start off with the number one team in basketball, man. A team that, you know, of course, I'm excited about because my favorite player is on this team. We're going to talk about the Golden State Warriors, man, looking like legit contenders. They're 11-2 right now, just coming off a tough loss against Charlotte, which, you know, was a close game at the end. But 11-2, best record in basketball. Steph is, you know, he just got named West Conference Player of the Month. KD was named Eastern Conference Player of the Month, which is crazy when we think about those two really teammates for three seasons. Was it four seasons? It's three seasons. They won two out of three. And it's kind of crazy when you think about it. They won back-to-back titles, and you just see these two dudes like in an early MVP race, man. But this is what I love about the Warriors right now. Like, I had them, I think in my preseason, I had them at like fifth seed, if I'm not mistaken. What I love about the Warriors right now is I feel like they're adopting the old Spurs model, you know, of having your core players and just building younger talent around them. And, you know, how they kind of did that with, you know, Manu, TD, and Tony Parker. And then they brought Kawhi in and they brought a whole bunch of other guys around him. And I think they're doing the same thing right here. When you see what you're getting from Jordan Poole, I mean, you see what you're getting from, I mean, Gary Payton's son is out there playing defense.
Yeah. GP2 locking the fuck up.
GP2. He's like, he has a highlight every fucking night, man. Draymond is, you know, not want to say he's Draymond like he used to be, but he's playing pretty fucking good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he's out there, you know, doing what you expect from Draymond. Not to the highest level, who I think age is catching up with him a little bit. But it's not like he's out there like – I feel like last year I was like, damn, this nigga point shaving. Like, when he was out there sometimes.
No, I mean, like Chuck said, he's still averaging a triple single. Right. But the last two, the seven assists and eight rebounds, they're a lot more respectable, you know.
Yeah. And Andrew Wiggins, man, like, I talk a lot of shit about Wiggins, but he's really thriving in his role as, like, the third guy right now. And, of course, when Clay gets back, he'll be the fourth guy. And that's what I just love about this team. It's like they have a new person stepping up, and everybody's making shots. I think that Steve Kerr is doing a hell of a job with this team. And defensively is where it's F for me. They're, like, becoming – a really, really great defensive team. They really put the clamps down on the Bulls in that second half on Friday. And it's like Andre Iguodala only plays well when he's in Golden State, which is like, because he wasn't doing shit when he was in Miami. And now it's like he's out there at least playing some service of basketball. Yeah, and when you look at where they're at right now, 11-2 of impressive wins, man. They still got Klay coming back. Klay should be back around Christmas. And you got James Wiseman coming back. And I'm not – and this the great thing about Wiseman, I think this is a perfect opportunity for Wiseman. They're not expecting the world of this nigga. If he can go out there, defend, block shots, you know, that's all they need. And I think that's more than realistic to ask from him. And if you get them 75 to 80% of Klay, I think the sky's the limit. We got to actually start to talk about them as a legit – championship contender, which is not what I had, you know, coming into the season.
No, yeah, absolutely, bro. And the craziest part with everything you just said, you didn't even mention your light-skinned messiah, Steph Curry, who's been, you know, playing out of his mind. Like, he's really on the MVP.
I mean, that's like, that's common sense. You know, I think y'all know how Curry gets down.
Yeah, but no, he...
we finna get Reggie Miller up out of here before Martin Luther King Day.
Like, nah, bro. Like, Steph, like, he's been on some next-level shit. And you talked about their defense, like you said, they're rated third on offense. Their defensive rating is they fell to 19th, but like you said, they really lock up when they need to, and like you know, being number one in points per game, G. But like for me, it's like Jordan Poole. They really got rid of a lot of the negative contributions from last year.
Yeah.
Niggas like Kelly Oubre, who you know just didn't fit. I think for him, like you know, being in because it's crazy because he had a career year. The year before in Phoenix. And so, you know, people expected a lot more from him, but I think being behind Steph and understanding, like, you know, you're not going to get the rock like that.
Right.
That didn't work for him, so that didn't work out at all. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Having a guy like Jordan Poole really step up, you know what I'm saying? A healthy Draymond Green, you know, we saw him tweak his knee the other day, but I think he's all right. Otto Porter Jr., I didn't check the injury report on him, but he had been really, you know, been a positive contributor for them.
Otto can always contribute. It's just Kennedy.
It's injury. It's yeah. Every year, bro. Like I told my homie who's a big Warriors fan, I was like, Otto Porter is good. I never said he was bad. He just gets hurt a lot. And so, like you said, man. So, like you said, if they get Klay back and Klay is Klay, then they could be problems because you got Steph playing at an MVP level. Like, so if you add that and him playing at an MVP level will take a lot of pressure off of Klay. I think if you have teams who try to key in on Steph and you're leaving Klay wide open, that's a lot easier for him. That's a lot easier for him to ease his way back in as opposed to, you know, teams like treating Klay like old Klay.
And so, I think, not to cut you off real quick, but I also think what's impressive is if you look at a couple games, like I think over the last 2 weeks, there'd be games where Steph didn't really have like a Steph game. Like he had like 20, 22 points. And it don't fucking matter because somebody else is cooking. Like Wiggins had like a 35-point game the other fucking night. Like, and that type of shit matters because you know Steph can play freely now.
Yeah, and last year, and I was one of the people saying, you know, he's not carrying this team, but you had to be real about it. Like that team had no space and no real shooters.
Terrible.
It was a bad roster, and much like the Bulls roster, there was a lot of turnover.
Pascal was getting heavy minutes, bro.
Exactly.
I don't even know where that nigga's at right now.
Yeah, exactly. So right now what you see, you know, you said that I think there is a possibility for them to sustain this type of play going forward.
Yeah, definitely, man. I think it's, you know, I feel like they're finally, if you're, you know, for the Warriors owners, like I feel like they're finally starting to get some home court advantage because there's been 2 years of, well, not 2 years, but basically like a year of Steph. No, it was actually 2 seasons. I'm forgetting, we're on third season in 18 months where, you know, Steph was hurt in 19-20 and then, you know, 2021 wasn't no fans where they didn't really have the energy they wanted in the Chase Center. Now it actually feels like an actual legit home court advantage. And I think when Klay gets back, I think the pressure's kind of off Klay because they're making it like an easy transition for him. Like, you know, I think where Klay's going to suffer the most is defensively. Like, I think that's probably where his biggest, you know, hill to climb is going to be. I mean, that nigga shot is ridiculous. Like Steph is like, you could be like Steph's the greatest shooter of all time. You can argue that the second best shooter of all time is that nigga is running mate. Like that's how insane that is. And I think just as a fan of basketball, and I know a lot of niggas don't like Steph. It's cool. But the Splash Brothers are fun to watch. Now it's been a while since we've actually seen the Splash Brothers be the Splash Brothers. And that's one thing I'm excited to watch, man. So shout out to the Warriors, man. Shout out to all their fans. I got a lot of homies in the Bay Area, man, who you know I fuck with. And by the way, after being at Damien's engagement party, if you ever play Blow the Whistle around some Bay niggas, it's like the niggas' eyes. It's like the fucking bat signal, nigga.
Shit gonna go up, my nigga. Right. Like, I went to school with a whole bunch of niggas from the Bay. Like, when you play Blow the Whistle, and don't let shorties have a whistle, because they gonna blow the fucking whistle. It's crazy.
One lady, she was there, she put a drink down. She said, oh, shit.
Like, oh, no, dude. They don't play about it, dog.
They don't play about it at all, man. And you know, that and Big Steppin', that's like my favorite song right now, bro. Like,
dude, y'all made me download that shit today. I ain't know what y'all was talking about, but y'all kept tweeting it. So I'm like, let me pull this up. that's some real bass shit.
That's some real bass shit, bro. I was like, nigga, they played that at the engagement party. I was like, nigga, this is my shit, bro. So that's my new shit. But yeah, shout out to everybody, all the Bay Area, man. I fuck with y'all, man. I'm definitely gonna have to come out there next year. But let's get to our East Coast brothers. Bing bong. That's the sound you hear of the fucking Knicks dropping in the standings, nigga. That's what the fuck that is, man.
I pulled the beers out for this one.
we have been waiting for this shit for really since the season started, because when we started this, we both was like, them niggas gonna be like a low play-in team, bro.
I was told by Applecare that these niggas were supposed to be good.
Yes, that's what I was telling
them. Y'all lied to me.
And we tried to tell y'all about year two tips. Now, when y'all beat us, and by the way, we coming back. We overcharging niggas what they did to the Cold Crush next week.
Just know.
I might be in attendance. Just know it's gonna be nasty what we do to y'all next week. But these niggas was like top in the league a couple weeks ago, and it was y'all going in that tough stretch. Y'all niggas beat the fucking Pistons and Pelicans. Who the fuck y'all think y'all are? I can't really name a statement win on these niggas' schedule yet. We got a couple of them shits. These niggas are 7-6 right now. 7-6,
mediocre.
They mediocre as hell. They're on a 2-game losing streak. 5-5 in their last 10. This is what we've been saying about this team, bro. The biggest issue with this team to me is you have no go-to scorer. Julius Randle is not him. He's not that guy, bro.
The man play like he got one hand, G.
Bruh. He play like he got one hand.
That's how they lost to the Hawks, G. Yeah. When I went to the game, G, every time he went left, it was somebody standing there waiting on him. Like, if you put somebody there, because, like, at this point, forcing him to go right, even if you try to force him to go right, he's still going to go left.
Yep.
So people just, you know, play him to his left, and it's a wrap. And one thing that I didn't even notice, like, this is crazy, because, like, obviously, you know, everybody was talking about how the additions of, you know, Fournier and Kemba were going, you know, uplift this team.
I'm glad you said that. I was definitely just about to get into that.
Derrick Rose and Kemba Walker are averaging the exact same amount of points, rebounds, and assists, and steals, and one is a starter. That's a problem, G. Like, that is a issue. Evan Fournier is averaging one more point than Derrick Rose and two less assists. That's a problem, G. Like, these were the people you brought in to be
different. How much they get? $80 million?
$80 million.
It's like, first of all, man, it's like Evan Fournier. Y'all acting like Evan Fournier. You can't build a team around Evan Fournier, bro. He can't be your number one or your number two guy. Like, what are we doing? And everybody, I understand the story of Kemba is cool. Him coming back, he from the Bronx, whatever, New York, all that other shit, cool. But it's like, it's kind of how I feel about Cam. Like, I'm happy that Cam's back in Carolina. I just don't know how much it's going to produce on the field. For the rest of the fucking season, that still remains to be seen. But it's like, Kemba's a great story, but are you really getting the corpse of Kemba Walker, bro? He's not the same fucking guy. He ain't been hurt yet, but give it time.
I give him a little credit. I won't say corpse yet, but he's not cardiac Kemba. It's like, it's not you. You're not getting that guy. That's, you know, and you know, yeah, he's had a couple good games, but like you said, they've been inconsistent offensively. And it's to a point now where not only are you inconsistent offensively, but your defense isn't good. They're ranked 24th overall in defensive rating.
And that's one thing you expect from Tibbs' team, to at least be good defensively.
Yeah. And so when you're getting cooked like that, like I said, you know, RJ Barrett. I like RJ Barrett. You know, I've seen, you know, the games I've seen, you know, he's been decent. He's been aggressive going to the rack. I like that. But like you said, when you don't have a true superstar, and this is why I was against matching out Julius Randle. It's not because he's a bad player, but Julius Randle can't be the highest paid nigga on your team.
How much they paying Randle?
What was his max? I'll look it up real quick. But nah, but like they don't have a true superstar, and that's really a problem.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's the issue with, and it don't even have to be a superstar per se, but it has to be like, who's your go-to scorer? Like, you know, I don't think Zach LaVine is a superstar yet, but he's a go-to scorer.
Okay, well, he got 6 years, 3 years, 62. He getting $20 million a year, but I don't think he. I'm not giving Julius Randle $20 million a year.
Oh hell no, nigga! Fuck hell,
I'm just
no.
Not. I can't do it. It's like 10-20-10, but I can't do it.
It's like with the Bulls at the end of games, you know, the ball's gonna be either in Zach's hand or DeMar's hand. You know what I'm saying? Who the fuck is taking it? Like honestly, it should be Derrick Rose all the damn time. If you want to keep it a buck, it should be D Rose.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It should be D Rose, but it's like, do they know that? You know what I'm saying? Like, D Rose should be a starter, bro. Like, Julius Randle, even if you look at the Bulls game, when we lost that game, Julius Randle let us back in there. You had Zoe locking this nigga. A point guard should not be locking your big ass up.
Gee, it just locking him up, turnovers, he missed two free throws. The game I went to down here in Atlanta, he missed two free throws. And before they just started getting their ass beat, like you said, you know, you saw him miss free throws in that series. So, like you said, he's netted up in clutch moments multiple times. So, like you said, it's really an issue, bro. And so, with me, it's like, where do the Knicks go from here? Like, even if the defense gets better, you still got the same struggles offensively you had last season.
Yeah.
So, like, what is the answer? You ain't making no trade. Who the fuck they gonna trade for Dame?
Exactly.
Who?
And honestly, if you're Dame, is the situation better in Portland? Like, really want to be honest, because the niggas, they going to have to give up. Is it really better than Portland?
Yeah, I think if they make the trade, Obi Toppin is gone, Quigley's gone, RJ Barrett's gone. Like, you're giving up a bulk of the team to come play with Julius Randle, Evan Fournier, D Rose. You know what I'm saying? No, you're not going
to
do that.
You're going to have to give up the whole fucking farm. I don't want my nigga D Rose in fucking Portland. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's the issue they got, man. I don't really see how it's going to be. I think this is just who they are. This is just who they are. I think they're going to be a 500-ass team. And I think they're going to get one of those bottom play-in spots. You know what I'm saying? And for their roster, I don't think that's bad. But for Knicks fans, high expectations. Heck, expectations from I don't know where the fuck they got it from. I understand Knicks fans are a wild fan base. I get it. They're passionate. But if you take away the passion, like, I could take away my passion with the Bears and be realistic. You take away the passion from the Knicks, what made you think this team was going to be better? And this is a team that they went to the playoffs last year and they got a gentleman's sweep because they can't fucking score.
Gee, we said this on the first episode. Yeah. It's like you basing all your belief on growth from within. Like, you didn't really think RJ Barrett was going to become a fucking superstar this year. Like, stop it. Like,
I saw somebody called him Maple Mamba. I was like, stop it.
That's worse than when they call Andrew Wiggins that shit.
Maple Marshawn Brooks is what I like to call that.
Dude. Yeah, bro. But yeah, like, so with the Knicks, it's like, I mean, you really got a roster just a bunch of, I don't know what you're going to do with this shit. Mitchell Robinson.
He said, I'm out of answers.
Yeah, because like Mitchell Robinson, like he's a solid big. You're not going to re-sign Ehlers Noel after this year.
Todd Mitchell Robinson would be a good bench guy on somebody's
on the Bulls.
Really good team. Yeah, on the Bulls, right, exactly.
We just need that's all we need is an athletic big off the bench. Dude.
And that's why I love AK. You know what I'm saying? Because I know that they're eventually going to address that. Now, speaking of AK, I want to talk about this. I didn't put this on a rundown, but it just came to me a second ago. Mm-hmm. Now, Woj is saying that the investigation into the Zoe trade, into the Kyle Lowry trade is in final stages, whatever. Now, there's a couple things I got to say about this. One, why the fuck is it taking this long? It's literally been 3 months. Zoe and Kyle Lowry signed first week of August. We're pushing Thanksgiving's next week. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you're just not doing this. One or two, it's telling me one or two things. One, neither one got caught. or they got a lot on both of these niggas, and they finna bring the hammer down. Now, Woj said, of course, there will be no trade reversals, obviously. But he said it could be up to $10 million fine, loss of draft picks, and suspension of executives. Now, that's the thing that concerned me. I don't give a fuck about the money. I don't give a fuck about the draft picks. If we're good enough, them draft picks ain't going to be high anyway. That money ain't my money. The Bulls can fucking shit $10 million. I hope that if we're guilty, it doesn't come to AK or Mark being suspended. What are your thoughts on that whole little process?
I mean, my whole thing with that, it's kind of like when you lock up a drug lord. Like, the operation is still going to get ran, G. Like, even if they're suspended and can't do their thing, they're going to leave a groundwork of shit for people to do that are able to do it. So that don't really concern me. My whole thing is, to me, the fact that they've been doing this for so long, and it's not because they're necessarily doing their due diligence, which we know they are. I really think it's just the fact that they didn't have much. So,
yeah, that's what the side that I'm on too. Because I feel like if they had anything, then it wouldn't have took no fucking 3 months.
Exactly, G. So I mean, draft picks, shit. We ain't got no fucking draft picks anyway. And then what we've seen is AK is creative enough that he can make shit work.
Yeah.
And he's gonna make moves.
I mean, look at the moves he made. This shit. We had no fucking cap. We had no fucking cap, bro.
And we ended up with DeMarzo.
Yeah.
And Caruso.
Let's not forget about Bald Mamba, okay? Like, let's not forget about that nigga, man. But that's pretty much all I had to say on that, man. Let's talk about two hot starts, man. The Hornets are having a little hot start right now. The Wizards are really, really good. Who do you think is more legit? Because these are two teams I still have in my play in, but out of these two, who do you think can sustain this the longest?
Oh, Charlotte. I mean, nigga, last year I picked Charlotte to go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
So, oh, I forgot about that take.
Clearly, I'm going to pick the Charlotte Hornets.
I forgot about that take.
But nah, you got a healthy Zoe starting from the jump. I said Miles Bridges, he's a player who took a leap that I didn't expect to take a leap. You know what I'm saying? He's averaging 23-7-3. And, you know, you still got Gordon Hayward, who's that steady hand, that steady vet, Terry Rozier. We shitted on Kelly Oubre for what he did with the Warriors, but he's actually been a solid off the bench guy for them. My one, I wouldn't even really say concern, but one thing to keep an eye on is that they rely heavy on four dudes. They got four players that average at least 30 minutes a game. You know what I'm saying? Miles, LaMelo, Gordon, Terry, they all average. Like I said, Terry is the lowest and he averages 31.9 minutes a game. So, you know, keep an eye on that. But, I mean, overall, no, I really like this squad. You still got a young PJ Washington who's been in the news for all the wrong reasons. You know what I'm saying? Keep your head up, nigga.
Keep your head
but,
up.
But, no, he's averaging 9-5, basically.
And do your scouting reports. So
yeah. 9-5 off the bench, you know what I'm saying? Oubre, who I mentioned earlier, is averaging basically 14 off the bench. So, you know, you got a really good mix of players. They got, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They got five niggas in double figures, which is what you need. You need the ball spread around like that. And Melo, we all talked about Melo last year, but gee, I think bro's really going to take that step this year as well.
Yeah, I'm going to say, obviously, I think it's the Hornets. I think the Hornets, I like what Marge Renard's got going on over there. It's just because I go with superstars, it, man. I think LaMelo is a superstar in the making. You know, dude, you know, he's fucking awesome, everything does. And I love Miles Bridges, bro. Miles Bridges might be
going crazy, G.
Most improved player of the year. He's been great. He was great down the stretch against Golden State the other night. And I just don't buy the Wizards. Like, I don't buy them at all. I think they have a great chance to be a play-in team. But 9-3, nigga, like, it's the same thing I feel like with Cleveland. Like, you know, Cleveland's doing pretty good. I think Evan Mobley is legit. Yeah. But them niggas ain't finna be no top five seed, bro. Like, we all know Milwaukee gonna get their shit together. Atlanta gonna get their shit together. You know, I even think, Boston might be better than Washington. But I'm just not buying Kuzma doing this shit. I'm just not buying. I think Bradley Beal, of course, Beal's gonna do this. But at the team, I'm not buying. I think the Hornets have a lot of upside. You know what I'm saying? They can, when they get into ruts, they have the talent. They can get up out of it. They don't have the talent in DC to be able to fucking do that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not buying it. I'm just not whatsoever. I'm not, and I actually still wouldn't be shocked if the Wizards even missed the play. And that's how little faith I have about the fucking Washington Wizards.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I'm a fan of I'm a big fan of Spencer Dinwiddie. And I, you know, saying that's somebody I wish, you know, was on a, like I said, a real contender. Because, like I said, I don't see this team being able to keep up this steam long term. It's just one of those teams where, even though people call, you know, Bradley Beal a, you know, rising superstar and on the verge or whatever, I don't think this team has a just doesn't have enough to sustain this long term. You know what I'm saying? You got KCP and, you know, Aaron Holiday, but overall, bro, like you said, I think this is the team that could eventually, like you said, they're going to cool off and could miss the playoff. But, you know, one thing I do want to, you know, shout out to Kuzma. You know, he's actually playing in a role where he can just be himself. I know a lot of people shit on him with the Lakers, but you got to realize he's played a lot of his best basketball as a small ball four. And on the Lakers, you got LeBron and AD, who even though LeBron ran point a lot, they're gonna occupy that three and that four space. So he was never gonna be comfortable there. So, you know, he's been decent. But like you said, at the end of the day, I think between those two, I think Charlotte is the more serious contender. Playoff contender.
Yeah, like for sure, man. Like, you know, I will give Kuz this. I love that Kuz clapped back at the Cleveland media saying, oh, by the way, LeBron is out against the Bulls tonight.
Oh, we'd rather beat their ass.
I hope you're right. I would love nothing more. Of course, when you listen to this podcast, you'll see if Dante was right or not. But
I'm going to let niggas know if I'm right.
Oh, me too, nigga. You already know. But I would say I did like how Cleveland media was like, Kyle Kuzma, who only has a championship because of LeBron James. He's like, well, me and Cleveland got that in common. So I love that exchange from Kuz, man. But didn't Winnie Harlow leave that nigga or something? She was like, I ain't living in D.C.
Oh, damn. I hope not.
I think she left that nigga, if I'm not mistaken. I think she did.
Hold your head, Kevin.
Hold your head. I mean, that nigga rich. He'll be all right. Get it. Like, these I'm gonna get real summer sessions real quick. These women are unattainable to us.
Yeah, it's a lot of
these rich niggas.
He'll be fine.
You in Chocolate City, bro. Anyway,
yeah, he's gonna eat over there.
Let's talk about the contenders, man. A lot of slow starts for the contenders that we had coming into this NBA season. As I pull up the NBA standings here, let's take a look at let's see, the fucking Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks will be out of the playoffs right now if it started. They're 6-8 right now, which is not fucking good. They just got the breaks beat off of them by Atlanta. Atlanta, who was another contender, they're 5-9 right now, not looking good at all. And out west, the Lakers are 8-6. If the playoffs start today, they'd be in the play-in. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty much what I think would, you know, At all of these fucking concerns, which one do you think is, you know, has the biggest issue?
The Hawks, G. I think the Hawks really had the biggest issue because, I mean, you're getting major contribution. Well, you're getting your usual contributions from Trae Young and John Collins, but everybody else, it's not been what you expected. And I think that's part of the, you know, the downside of seeing a team that gets hot in the playoffs and expecting that to carry over for 82 games next season. That's just not the same. It's not the same thing. So, you know what I'm saying? You got Cam Reddish back. You got DeAndre Hunter back. But at the same, you could look at, you know, Kevin Huerter, which is a guy they really expected to, you know, take a step. He's averaging eight points a game. You know what I'm saying? Gallinari averages 6 points a game. You feel me? The only person you have really, you know, outside of Trae Young averaging considerable points is John Collins, averaging 16 points a game. And so, you know, it's been a mix of, you know, I'm not even going to necessarily say injuries, even though, you know, DeAndre Hunter did recently have wrist surgery. So he's out for 8 weeks. But, I mean, overall, they've just been inconsistent. And we talked about this on the first episode. This is a team that really couldn't afford a slow start. And now they're having that. So that's definitely something to worry about.
Yeah, I think the one that has the biggest issue to me would have to be the Lakers. And the reason I say the Lakers is because Russell Westbrook, bro. Like, I just never liked the fit. I'm going to keep fucking banging this wall. I'm going to keep fucking saying it. You know what I'm saying? That I just don't like the fit. Now, I do think they're going to get better. I do think that when LeBron actually gets back, and LeBron's injury is kind of concerning to me because, you know, Well, listen, Father Time's undefeated, but you've never seen them miss games at the beginning of the season. Like, out of the first month, I don't think Bron's played more than five games, if that.
He hasn't.
And I got to look at how many he's actually played, but he hasn't been out there. So, eventually, they will get LeBron back. Important bench pieces, too. Like, THT came back last night. He had a pretty fucking good game. Still going to get Kendrick Nunn back. I think that's going to be a huge boost off the bench. I don't know what much they're going to get from Trevor Ariza. To me, they got the corpse of Trevor Ariza. Like, you know, Trevor Ariza won a championship with the Lakers almost 12 fucking years ago. Like, that was a long-ass time ago. And then he has a pretty brutal injury. I don't think he's going to be even scheduled to come back to the top of the year. But it all rests on the health of LeBron and Anthony Davis. You never know when Anthony Davis is going to get hurt. It could be fucking today. He could be getting hurt right now, getting ready for pregame. You never fucking know with that nigga. But even with them healthy, I just don't like the Russ fit. I just don't like the Russ fit. I never liked it. I would have brought back, I'd have traded for Buddy Hield and I'd have, you know, kept pieces around them. To me, that's the best one. You need shooters around LeBron. I think that's going to be the biggest issue chemistry-wise. Now, I think they can get past it in the regular season. But come playoff time, man, I think that's going to be a huge issue. So that's why I feel like they have the most question marks. I don't like what I'm seeing from Milwaukee. I don't like what I'm seeing from Atlanta. But like you said, Atlanta's got some injury concerns. I do think they'll get it together. And I do think Milwaukee will get together too. But Milwaukee needs to get hot because Brooklyn's playing pretty fucking well. The Brooklyn's starting to get into a fucking groove right now, and they could be competing for their number one seed. And even we talk about the Bulls right now, like, the Bulls could be one of them top three, four seeds now with the way we're playing. And, you know, you're going to get Vooch back when he gets off the COVID list. Kobe White comes back tonight. And I do think that there's going to be a move or two that AK is going to make when we get closer to the deadline. So the Bulls have a prime position right now to get some gap between them and Milwaukee. So I think Milwaukee and the Lakers have the most concerning starts to me. And that's actually – I think that was my finals. No, I picked the Nets. But, yeah, that's on a lot of people's finals preview of having those two teams in there. Of course, it's wild fucking early. Like I said, the first 2 months of the season is just really about getting your chemistry down, Pat. But they have some alarming trends that I think can continue throughout the season.
Yeah. No, I feel you on that. I feel you on the Lakers concern because, like you said, the rush fit is, you know, one of those things where you bank it more so on talent than actual schematic fit. It's one of those things where, like, it's three great niggas. They're going to figure it out. And so, with LeBron being out, you've seen him have some good games, but at the same time, the Lakers still have struggled. So, you know, it's still been real mediocre basketball. And so, I definitely feel your concerns on the Lakers. And, but I think overall, at the end of the day, with the Bucks, it's just them getting healthy. Once they're healthy, they'll be fine.
I don't think Giannis played the last couple of games. He didn't play.
No, he hasn't.
Okay. So, yeah, you got that too. So, let's move into our bold prediction thing. Now, of course, if you listen to our preseason podcast, both of us had some wild MVP predictions. I think Dante's was way wilder than mine. But he had Paul George. I had Trae Young. Both mine isn't looking too hot right now, mainly because Trae ain't really look like himself. I feel like he's still trying to adjust to playing without those foul calls. And the team's been hot ass. But your boy, Paul George. Paul George is averaging 26.5 points right now, 8.2 rebounds, 5.2 assists. He's shooting about 45% off from the field. And the Clippers are actually playing pretty good. You know, they were coming into the Bulls game with a 7-game win streak. And the Bulls snapped that. I think they've only lost one time at Staples Center, which was the Bulls game. He's looking pretty fucking good. Now, that's the gift and the curse for the Clippers because they're one Paul George injury away from potentially missing the playoffs with no Kawhi being there. We have no update on Kawhi, and Kawhi is the king of taking his sweet time with injuries, as he should, especially when you got paid. Like, nigga, I can sit here all fucking season if I fucking want to. I'm not expecting him back whatsoever. Paul George has to play fantastic or they don't fucking win. That's pretty much what happened against the Bulls. And I think that was really, really good defense by Caruso and Lonzo towards the end of the game to really get him out of rhythm. By the way, that nigga was getting some LeBron James type foul calls last night. Like, I was yelling, like, what the fuck? Zach LaVine gets zero calls and it like pisses me off. Like, he gets nothing, bro.
He like D-Rose,
yeah. And I think people forget that D-Rose got no calls, even during his MVP season.
Maybe it's because, like, we used all our calls up when Mike was here. But like, we don't, we really don't get no calls.
We
like,
don't,
and,
bro.
And it's crazy because
my DeMar gets them. DeMar is the king of getting to the line.
And that's one thing I want to say, because you mentioned Trae Young with DeMar. Like, the only people who are really struggling with these rule changes are the people that adapted the bullshit into their game. Like,
yeah,
people who were using regular basketball moves to draw fouls, they're still going to the line. Like, DeMar went to the line 10 times the other day. Like, yeah, they still getting to the line. It's the people that were jumping in the people, coming across half court, then just stopping, letting the motherfucker run into you, like shit like that. They're the ones who are really struggling with this. But no, with PGG, like I said, with Kawhi out, bro is really able to just play his game. There's no, you know, overlap, because, you know, they do a lot of the same things. So with him, you know, the team really relying on him saying, all right, Paul, you are a guy. He's been able to showcase his entire game. And I mean, that's the gift and the curse of being on a super team.
Yeah, pretty much. I think I still think that in the end, I will have a better claim to. I don't, but you know, and Steph and Clay, I'm not Steph Clay, but Steph and KD keep balling the way they are, then neither one of us is gonna be right. But
oh yeah, definitely. I think Steph's gonna run away with this shit at this point.
I think Steph has a way better shot, because if the Warriors finish 55 plus wins and he keeps playing the way he will and not doing it, and we know with KD being gone and Clay missing so much time, the media loves Steph. They're going to hand that nigga that fucking third MVP on a silver fucking platter. And then you're going to get niggas like me who are going to be fucking unbearable. So that is probably going to be the best one. But right now, Paul George has got a leg up. He's got a leg up. We're going to keep updating this like once a month. But Dante is in the league right now with his guy PG and those Dreamcast braids of his.
Palm Bill P, let that shit go, bro.
Oh, niggas was chanting MVP of the line. And when Paul George, I was like, damn, Dante predicting all this shit. By the way, I thought it was fucking hilarious. You know, I hype niggas on the hype man on the court when, like, at the end of the game. So I think the Bulls was up like six with, like, it was 4 or 6 points with like 2 minutes left. And the hype man on crowd was like, get on your feet, Clipper Nation. Let them know who house this is. I swear to you, the whole fucking arena said, Lakers!
I believe that.
I
believe that 1,000%.
I was like, bro, this shit's fucking hilarious, man. No respect in your own fucking building. Them niggas can't wait till they move to fucking Inglewood. I don't know who the fuck is going to travel to Inglewood to see the fucking Clippers, but whatever.
But I will say this. I think they're going to get fans off the strength that, like new stadiums are, like, fascinating.
Yes.
To fans. So
each, like, one gets better.
Yeah. And so for them having the whole little, you know, footprint that they're gonna have in Inglewood, you're gonna get a whole bunch of just basketball fans to come to them games too.
You know, it's gonna be great too when they have those Ram Clipper doubleheaders, because it's gonna be right across the street. Like, you can go to the Rams game, hit one of them little bars up over there, Clippers got a game at night.
Yep. That shit gonna be cracking.
That whole little area over there. If you live over there, I'm sorry. Because, nigga, that rent already high with fucking so far. And by the way, I'm happy to hear the people who are going to be working on New Bear Stadium said their plan is to make it the Midwest version of SoFi. That was like music to my fucking ears to hear that shit.
Yeah, I mean, I got to come check. I got to come check out SoFi. I got a couple of tickets left. I might use them.
Yeah, you got to go. I still ain't been. I got to go. But, you know, I want to see the Rams. I like Jay Herbo, my dog. But I want to see the Rams. You know what I'm saying? They got Jalen. They got AD. They got Odell now, you know. And, you know, at the end of the day, I keep telling people.
He about to go crazy tonight, nigga.
I mean, yeah, he playing the fucking Niners. But it's like, this is my thing. Matthew Stafford is still throwing the football. Like, no, I don't. No,
but,
I, no, I, no, I don't,
but this is my thing, G. Matthew Stafford not bad, G. He just played in Detroit.
He not bad, but he ain't a nigga who's going to take you over the top either. I'm telling you. I can almost bet my life he's going to fuck the money up somehow. So happened on Sunday Night Football against Tennessee.
Yeah,
that's Matthew Stafford. That can happen in a moment. You're not gonna be facing niggas like the fucking, I don't know, the Niners every fucking week. There's gonna be some real niggas you're gonna have to beat. Can you're confident him going blow for blow with Tom Brady? You confident him going blow for blow out with Aaron Rodgers? I'm not.
I don't know.
Whatsoever. And they have to have a great second half. I know, of course, if you listen to a Barbershop podcast, we get off topic. But anyway, if you look at that second half, they're not number one in their division. A lot of people forget that shit. Like, you don't want to have to go on the road to Green Bay in the cold, nigga. Like,
yeah, we saw what Odell did in the cold last time.
We saw Odell did in the cold and fucking fucking Matthew. I mean, he played in the cold. He was in the NFC North, but them niggas was a dome team. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I'm saying. It's
going crazy tonight, though. Bet the over.
Oh, I'm 100% betting the over, nigga.
Nigga, they 29th ranked defense in the league. They finna go stupid, bro. They finna put on a show. They finna put on a show, man. But tune in to 2 minute drill.
We'll fuck Baker Mayfield.
Oh, nigga, I can't wait to talk about that shit. Fuck that nigga. Like, dead ass, if you ask me who I'd rather have, Baker Mayfield or Derek Carr, I might say Derek Carr.
No, 100%. Ain't no might. I'm 100% saying Derek Carr.
Like, it's just, you know, I said yesterday on Twitter, I said, who'd you rather have, Baker Mayfield, Kirk Cousins? I ain't never seen that many niggas pick Kirk Cousins in my life.
Bro, Kirk Cousins is probably the 15th best quarterback in the NFL. He's like the definition of fucking mediocre.
Yeah.
So, like, I would definitely take him over this.
You look up mediocre in the dictionary, you see a picture of Kirk Cousins, bro. Yeah. Like, that's just who the fuck he is. But Baker's just, like, he got more commercials than touchdowns, man. Like, get that nigga out of here. But as we wrap this up, man, we're going to get into our weekly power rankings. I wanted to wait for at least a month in the season before we got back to these. I'm like, Nick, I'm not making power rankings off 2 weeks, bro. Like, that's fucking ridiculous. Do you want to go first with your five? Or?
Yeah, I run off my five.
Okay, go ahead.
Number one, of course, like I said, I got light-skinned Jesus, Wardell, and the Golden State Warriors. That's my number one team in the league. Number two, I got Brooklyn. He said KD playing at an MVP clip. And I know it's random, but this is one of those moments where politics and sports intersect. You know, New York just got a new mayor. So if they change those indoor vaccines.
By the way, he already said last week he's not changing.
Oh, he's not changing?
Yeah, he said that's up to the NBA and Kyrie to work that out. He said he's not changing that shit.
All right, well, disregard that statement. But whenever Kyrie comes back, you know what I'm saying, you have another weapon to a team that's already 10-4. James Harden starting to really, you know, catch his stride. And, you know, adjust to the I feel like he's adjusting to the officiating faster than other superstars. So I got them at two. I got the Chicago Bulls at three. Like I said, here we are a month into the season. I'm starting to think this is much less of a fluke fast start than a team that's actually really good and really able to compete. And like you said, once we really address the lack of size, that's really the only concern I have with this squad is the lack of size. So once you really address that, you'll see what the potential is for this team. My fourth team is the Phoenix Suns. They've been a quiet 9-3. You feel me? 7-3 in their conference. They've only played West Coast teams, but it's a team that's really on pace to do something similar to what they did last year. I know I project them to fall, but so far they've been on that same path. And number five, I got the Denver Nuggets. You know what I'm saying? Jokic, he served his one game suspension already, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So you still got the Joker. You waiting on Murray to come back. I don't know about that investment in Michael Porter Jr., but...
Hey, man, I tried to tell you niggas. Y'all niggas up here bullshit. I'm telling you, the nigga
We should have got him. I ain't saying we should have paid him no max deal.
No, the nigga could not walk up the draft day stairs.
When he blew that layup?
And nigga, with our fucking training staff, absolutely not.
Dude, when he blew that layup, it felt like he was like,
I've been mad at a lot of things that Garpax did in their time. That was not one of them.
I don't like that investment, but no, I got them as my number five team.
Well, we really have identical lists. The only change I have, I thought you was going to do that in my five, too. I got Golden State, Brooklyn, Bulls, Phoenix. Five, I put Wizards there for the time being, since these are weekly joints. Now, okay, of course, I don't believe in these niggas whatsoever, but since these are weekly power rankings, and by the way, cheap plug, check out my NFL weekly power rankings on slick.com. Shout out to Aunt Baron Davis. Shout out to the homie TPJ for having me do that shit weekly. Check to see who I got number one this week. But if we just going off weekly shit, the Wizards will be my number five. But yeah, I got Golden State number one. Brooklyn's really starting to heat up. I really don't know about this Kyrie situation because it's like, I could see this nigga caving, but I could also see this nigga not playing the whole year. Kyrie's such a fucking wild card, bro. I don't know what the fuck we gonna get from this nigga.
He tweeted more Matrix bullshit yesterday.
I don't even know what that fucking means. I'm like, this nigga could be high somewhere. I don't fucking know. And then number three, the Bulls. Well, a lot of niggas, I'm going to send a warning shot right now to the league, okay? Because a lot of y'all, we started 4-0, the Bulls fans throwing a parade 4-0. Y'all niggas only beat the Pistons twice, da-da. We said that this 13-game stretch was going to prove what kind of team this is. Now, we still got three more games left in this stretch. Five more games left in this 13-game stretch, if you include the two home games. I'm going to call them 12 because Indiana is whatever. Honestly, and we gotta take New York off that list. So, nigga, we got three.
Fuck the Knicks.
Yeah, fuck. We got three hard games left.
Really, bing bong.
Really, two and a half, because I don't honor nobody on Portland but Dame. So
facts.
5-3 in our last eight. Three big wins against the fucking Utah Jazz, against the Brooklyn Nets, and against the Clippers last night. If we beat the Lakers tonight, you niggas are going to hear me louder than you've been fucking hearing me, bro.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a team that is still trying to get the chemistry together. Zach LaVine is on one fucking arm. Kobe White is making his first time playing tonight. He's missed the whole first fucking month. They're playing without Patrick Williams. He's out for the year, most likely. And Vooch has been on the fucking COVID list the last two games. By the way, fuck you, Joel Embiid, for getting him on the fucking list to fucking begin with. So you have all these things going on, and you have no type of bench presence whatsoever. And I think Kobe is going to flourish in this role. Now, I'm not expecting too much from him over the first month. He's coming off, I think it was rotator cuff surgery, if I'm not mistaken.
You know? See, that's the thing. He hasn't played in so long. I'm expecting him not to take that long to adjust.
You don't think it's going to take that long? Yeah.
I don't.
I hope not. I'm just not. My expectation is going to be low for at least the first month, like for him to get into a swing, get into it, get his legs under him. But last year, like, Kobe, they had him in the wrong position. He's not a point guard who's going to set up the offense. He's a score first guy. Now that you've got Caruso and you got Lonzo, you know, and I think Caruso is going to benefit even more from Kobe, because now all he really got to do is just lock up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And that's why I think the second unit is really going to light shit up.
Yeah.
Because you got your first unit that's full of, like I said, dynamic scores. And then you bring in Kobe and Caruso, and they're going to be able to play off each other.
And so let's give some love to Ayo. Ayo, man.
Yes, Ayo. I think, you know, Billy Donovan already said he's going to go to a 10-man rotation to make sure Ayo still gets minutes. But, I mean, you're going to have a second unit that can not only hold leads, but sometimes push them motherfuckers.
Yep.
When they can do that, that's really going to be able to help this team. And so I'm with you, Jay. I'm really excited to see what Kobe does tonight. You know what I'm saying? I'm not expecting much from him first night back.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, it's not going to take as long as people think.
That's another person in shock who you got to honor. But the story of this team, bro, is the fucking defense, which is the number one complaint of this team coming in. And both of us told y'all niggas, Mariano too, on third pick. This is a 12-ranked defense last year. Like, I understand a lot of niggas didn't watch the Bulls. Nigga, I didn't watch a lot of Bulls last year. But this is a 12-ranked defense with a terrible fucking roster. And you got these guys defending. And I got to give it to Vucevic. He ain't found his shot yet. And all you Bulls fans, like, trade this nigga. You're seeing how much his value is on the court, even when he's not hitting shots. You know what I'm saying? Once Vooch gets it together, and he will get it together, it's going to be scary hours for you niggas. But defensively, which is his Achilles heel, he ain't been bad. I thought he's been pretty fucking good. And that just add another element to it. Like, we held the Clippers to 90 fucking points. Like, and we go through these little 3-4 minute offensive ugly droughts of no points. The defense keeps us in the game. And that defense, when this offense clicks to where it gets to where it's going to get to, the sky, I won't say the sky's the limit, but this team can really exceed expectations.
No, we this team is doing everything we wanted them to do, which is like show them. And I think, even like DeMar, he's in a place where the nigga's actually fucking happy. Like everybody said, like, he played well in San Antonio, but he didn't want to be in San Antonio. He got traded to San Antonio. You feel me? But he chose to be in Chicago, and he's playing at an all-star MVP level. You feel me? And so I think, like you said, with this roster, another thing that I really like about this roster, and I know this is just a random tangent, but the athleticism, because like even the guys that don't score, like you said, they're contributing defensively. Alize Johnson ain't got no offensive moves in his game,
but the boy,
but
can
when
rebound.
He gets in the game, he can rebound like a motherfucker.
I love his motor, but goddamn, he can't finish at the basket. Like watch him on offense is a headache, but he's all over the place. Yeah,
and I'm gonna say Javonte Green.
Yeah,
Javonte Green needs to watch. I don't want to say prime. But watch PJ Tucker with the Rockets.
Yeah, prime PJ Tucker has been a wild quote.
Wild as hell. But no, if you can watch, like, if you can hit those corner threes, because they leave them open.
Yeah.
If Javonte can start knocking down those corner threes, because he defends, he has a high motor, he's banging on niggas, like, that's somebody who can really contribute. So I think that's something, like, the like you said, you don't want to say the sky's the limit, But you see the potential with the Bulls to get even better.
And the league is taking notice. The league is taking notice. Mike Breen said before the Warriors game, even though we got smacked, Mike Breen said, this is my first time seeing the Bulls all year, and I'm excited to see them. The Clippers, when they beat the Timberwolves the night before, the one of the Clippers announcers was like, be careful what you wish for, but the Chicago Bulls are coming. And I'm really looking forward to see how the Clippers respond to this team. And in the fourth quarter, lockdown. Them niggas had clamps on PG, bro. That nigga was in fucking L.A. County jail. So I'm saying I'm excited. And but and speaking on DeMar in his post game said, he's like, man, I love this decision coming to Chicago more than I thought I would. He's talking about how much he loved the fan base. And then even when he was leaving through the tunnel, it was a group of Bulls fans by the tunnel, like rooting. I seen niggas wearing USC DeMar jerseys last night. You know what I'm saying? Of course, a lot of his family was in the building. He said he had to buy 35 to 40 tickets for this game. So, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to DeMar. Shout out to Zach. Zach was playing classic 2006 Kobe go to hell ball last night. 11 for 27. The dagger three with three niggas guarding him. Dog. I was like, no. Oh, shit. Like, classic go to hell ball.
We got Ball Mamba. We got Compton Kobe. We got Mulatto Mamba.
We got Mulatto Mamba, nigga. We out here, bro. We out here.
This team, every Kobe fan dreams, dude. Everything you want to see on a basketball court.
Exactly, bro. Exactly. But that's all we got for y'all this week. We'll be back next week. We'll drop some right before Thanksgiving. Drops, man. I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving because last year I don't think any of us had any Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying? At least us rule following niggas didn't. you know what I'm saying? And by the way, if you're coming to Los Angeles and you try to do anything without a vaccination, good luck. Nigga, I went to the gym today. There's a big bouncer nigga in LA Fitness. Ooh, you scan your LA Fitness card and he'd be like, vaccination card. You know what I'm saying? They did that. And a Staples Center nigga. Staples Center, they check your vaccination before they check your ticket. Like, you can't do nothing. Like, I forgot the new mandate came in on the 8th. Because when I came in from LAX, there's like this a restaurant inside the Marriott Hotel I go to get my chief of Uber. I was like, table for one. It was like, vaccination card, please. So, hey, man, like.
Hey, I'm glad you said that. I'm going to grab mine before I go to this Hawks game. Just in case, nigga.
I don't know what it's like in Atlanta, but in LA, boy, it is strict. It's strict as fuck, nigga. When I was in Pittsburgh, boy, I seen maybe three masks. My entire, nigga, from the minute we entered the state of Ohio to the minute we got back to Illinois, me and my brother saw maybe three masks, bro. I was like, are we not in a pandemic? Like, whenever I go to the Bears game, when I went to the Raiders game, we gotta fill out these vaccination sheets. Nigga, the Steelers didn't send us shit.
They said, y'all coming? All right, bet.
And by the way, them niggas got terrible security too, nigga. I could have walked right through that motherfucker while going through the motherfucking bulletproof machine, nigga. Them niggas, terrible security. But long story short, man, we'll be back next week for Thanksgiving to talk about more basketball. Maybe the Bulls beat the Lakers. If they do, y'all be getting a great rant from not only on third pick, but between me and Dante on this show next week.
Oh, yeah, so. We sleep in L.A. Fuck you, man.
You're right. Oh, nigga, we sweep the back-to-back. Because, you know, usually niggas been in the club on the second night of the back-to-back, and you get your ass kicked. You know what I'm saying? L.A. nightlife is undefeated, especially on Sunday. But we will see how to get down, man. But as usual, man, you can follow us on Twitter. Follow me at BarbChairScott. Follow Dante at October's on Tay. Support the brand. Follow us at BarbersChairNet. On Twitter, Instagram, patreon.com/barbershop network. And we're going to holler at y'all niggas next week, man. We are out.